Hey guys, it's July 7th, 2021. I'm your host, Doc J, and you're listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual. All right, so before we start, I heard that Steve Harvey punched his mother the other day. It's absolutely despicable. You know, it must have been one kind of family feud. Ha ha! There you go, guys. That's your dad joke for the day. So a lot has happened currently in the NBA. We have a lot to talk about. But I'm really excited because I'm going to be starting our new segment today called Maximum Overhaul. Basically, this is just going to be where we discuss teams that have taken early exits in the postseason. And we're going to look at realistic ways to overhaul and change these teams based off of cap space, player contracts, draft picks, and obviously keen insight from your man, Doc J. So today, we're going to be starting with my favorite team, that is the Utah Jazz. And the first thing we have to do is we have to take a look at this roster. Okay, so I'm going to be using a few different websites to kind of put this together. I'm using sporttac.com, which allows me to look at salary caps and contracts. So when I click on 21 to 22, obviously that doesn't include Mike Conley because he is a free agent this year, and we will get to how we're going to deal with that. But we have currently 11 players on our roster, and I'll just start reading them off. Rudy Gobert, age 29, center. His base salary for next year is going to be $35 million. That is so much money. Good for you, Rudy. Next player is Donovan Mitchell, 25. He's making $28 million. Bojan Bogdanovic is 32. He will be making $18 million. Joe Ingles comes in next, 33, at $12 million. Jordan Clarkson, 29. He is going to be commanding $12 million as well. Derek Favors, age 30, is going to be making $9 million. Whew, that is that's a lot of money. Royce O'Neal, 28, shooting forward, is making $8 million. And then you have Azubuki, their early drafted center, at $2 million. Oni and Matt Thomas will be making $1.7 apiece. And then you have Elijah Hughes, who will be making $1.5 as well. So those are the 11 players that the Utah Jazz currently have slated for next year. Those are the guaranteed contracts that are going to be on the books next year. And that really does not leave the Utah Jazz a lot of money. So currently they are over the luxury tax threshold at $136 million. And when you look at other teams, that's not too bad. But it's not too good either. There are teams like Brooklyn who, you know, I think they're at 156, and then the Golden State Warriors who are at 166, but the Utah Jazz have the third largest luxury tax currently at 133, but there's still a lot that, you know, you can do. So let's talk about this. We talked about how our roster looks. Let's start getting into what our business is. Our first item of business is going to be, obviously, I think the elephant in the room is, do you retain Mike Conley? So he had a very commanding max contract that we traded for from Memphis. And is he worth making another contract for? So when you look at Mike, you have to understand that this is probably his best year he's had percentage-wise. Also, the first year he became an all-star, and so he finally has ended that streak of being known as the best player to never make that coveted game and that coveted role. That's no longer true. Mike Conley is an all-star. Mike, congratulations to you. I'm so happy for you and your family. I know that's probably a milestone you really wanted to achieve. So the Utah Jazz, when you look at Mike's contract, they have his bird rights. So what that means is Utah is in a place where they can basically counter any offer that he's going to receive. So personally, I truly believe that letting Mike Conley go puts you in a very ugly situation because you brought him in the first place to help alleviate the ball handling burden off of Donovan Mitchell and have other, you know, scorers and guys who could ball handle on the floor who aren't Joe Ingles. I think that Mike's impact on this team and the community has gone above and beyond. He's a great player. Everyone talks about how he's the most likable guy in the league. And, you know, that's not just a title you receive. It's something you really have to earn. So I think that letting Mike Conley walk is a huge mistake. And I think that you just got to try to bring him back at all costs. So my projection for what I believe his contract would look like, at least if I was in the front office, would be a 3-year, $54 million deal. That's going to be about 18 a year. First year is guaranteed, and then he has a third year player option. So we have to look at some of the suitors for Mike Conley, because it, you know, he's obviously going to test free agency. Once again, I'm using sportac.com to look at teams that have actual salary cap practical space in the year, the season for 21 to 22. First team is going to be the New York Knicks. They have a, they got a lot of money. They have $51 million in projected cap space. You have the Spurs at $48 million, Oklahoma City at $37 million. The Dallas Mavericks have $34 million. The Raptors have $23 million. Memphis has $22 million. The Heat has $20 million, and so do the Hornets. Those are the only teams that actually have cap space this season. Everyone else is already in the luxury tax. The next team would be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're at a negative seven. And so let's kind of look at these top eight teams and see where Mike would want to go. So we know in his career at this point in time, he wants to win. And he wants to go to a team that's going to allow him to win. So when you're looking at teams that really are in desperate need of a point guard, I would say the Miami Heat, the Dallas Mavericks, and the New York Knicks would potentially be the landing spots for Mike Conley, because those teams do not have reliable point guards. They don't have anyone who has Mike Conley savvy. And if he went to those teams, he could give them the opportunity to really push themselves over the top. The Raptors did not do this well this year, and they're still trying to figure out if they're going to retain Kyle Lowry or not. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces that are up in the air. But those would be, that would be my projection for the teams that actually have a chance of making it over the top, who would want to compete with Conley. So let's say Conley, you know, gets offered anywhere. I believe he'll get offered anywhere from 16 to 20 on a 2 to 3 year deal. And I think that the Jazz, if, you know, anything over 20, that might get a little dicey. But it, at the same time, we're talking about Mike Conley here. He is hurt quite a bit, and that should be taken into account. But I think that what he brings on the floor as far as his guidance and his veteran presence is really worth at least $18 million for the next 3 years, especially if you're the Utah Jazz and you're trying to win right now. So I think that the Jazz should absolutely try to get that deal done with Mike Conley. Once again, my projection was a three-year, $54 million deal. First-year guaranteed, third-year player option. And the whole reason the first year is guaranteed is because you want to lure him in. But, you know, second year wouldn't be guaranteed because, I mean, you could have stipulations in there saying, well, we want you to play at least 54 games out of the 82 or so on and so forth for you to get that guaranteed money. And so you could put stipulations in there and incentives as well to try to reform that that contract. But definitely, I think the Utah Jazz, it is in their greater interest to keep Mike Conley. He's a great player. I think letting him walk creates a massive hole that we traded for. And the Utah Jazz, their front office knew that they're going to be in this situation when they traded for Mike Conley. So, and I think that personally, that is a failure on the Jazz front office, but there have been changes. We'll get to that later. All right, second item of business is, look, the Jazz, they got to get bigger. They have to get more athletic at the wing. And so how do you do that? Well, you got to find players that are going to fit into your system, who also are in a win-now mentality. I think that the most suitable trade for the Utah Jazz would be, and I understand how Jazz fans feel about Derek Favors and Joe Ingles. I myself love both those players, but we cannot have emotional attachments to these guys if we are gonna, you know, actually start to make a run. We have to look at it. It has to be black and white. It has to be X's and O's. And unfortunately, that means parting with some guys that you really wanted to keep. So the trade I am proposing would be Joe Ingles, Derek Favors, and a first-round 2025 draft pick for Jeremy Grant of the Detroit Pistons. So what makes this trade realistic is the fact that Detroit now has the number one pick in you know, the NBA draft, and I think that they'd be foolish if they did not try to draft Cade Cunningham. I think that kid is legitimately going to be a future superstar. I think that he is fantastic. 6'8 point guard who averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists coming out of Oklahoma State. From the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Just a great player. Absolutely great player. And so when you have a Favors and Ingles contract, I mean, those contracts expire the next season. So all of a sudden you have $23 million in cap space, and that is something that Detroit desperately needs at this moment. So once again, second item of business is going to be trading to get bigger and better at the wing. And I think Jeremy Grant really is the perfect guy for that. If we take a look at Jeremy too, let's check him out. Okay, so this year was, or last season was really his breakout season with Detroit. He averaged 22 points, which is absolutely incredible. He got himself 2.8 assists and 4.6 rebounds. But this kid is 6'8", 210 pounds, and he can create his own shot. He's really been the main guy for Detroit, and I think he would fit in perfectly for the Utah Jazz's system, and he's really going to give Donovan Mitchell another option who he can trust when they're out there just playing ball. Next year, he is projected to make $20 million as well. That's why the Favors and Ingles trade kind of works out here. That's $3 million that the Jazz are alleviating off of their cap, which they kind of desperately need at the moment. And you're getting a really nice player in Jeremy Grant. A guy who Denver chose not to sign. He was coming off their bench. He averaged 11 points off their bench and was just an absolute killer in the bubble. And, you know, Utah and Denver in the bubble probably had one of the greatest series you'll ever see. Best of seven. And it was very heartbreaking for us here in Utah to watch that go down. But Jeremy Grant was a huge part of that. And he has shown that he wants to be the guy, and he can be the guy. And I think he would be a great number two option for the Jazz. All right, our third item of business is going to be drafting. So unfortunately, the Utah Jazz are kind of notorious for botching draft picks and not really developing players. I mean, they had Paul Millsap, Derek Favors, Enes Kanter, and then they had to basically steal Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert from Denver, so they will never do business with us again. But hey, Denver, thanks so much for that. We really appreciate it. But since Dennis Lindsay has stepped down from his role in the Utah Jazz front office, I believe that more changes are coming. And honestly, Justin Zanuck, I think, is perfect for kind of filling that role as well. Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, is showing that he's not afraid to make tough decisions to improve this team, because, you know, he is just like us. He's a Utah homegrown boy, and he wants to win. He wants to change the perception in Utah, and I believe that he is slowly doing that. So I think that the best option for the Jazz, in my opinion, would be Philippe Peter-Rusev. So this kid is 22 years old. He's 6'11", 235 pounds, and he's able to play as a stretch four or five in that role, and he's absolutely fantastic at it. His hometown, I'm going to butcher this, is Belgrade, Siberia. He played college ball in Gonzaga from 2018 to 2020, and then he received a pro contract to play in Russia. So when we're looking at his stats for last year, he averaged 23 points and 8 rebounds. Excuse me. He shot the three ball at a 41% clip, which is outstanding. 57% field goal average, and then 73% for the free throw. Excuse me, guys. So I'm sure, and when we look at the NBA draft, NBADraft.com has him projected at number 43 and then 38 on the big board. So he's going to be a very late first round, possibly second round player. So I'm sure all you guys are wondering, okay, why Peter-Rusev? The answer to that question is that he will maximize Rudy Gobert. So Rudy is a great player. In my opinion, I think they might have overpaid a little bit on that contract. They gave him Damian Lillard money, and he's not necessarily or anything like Damian Lillard. But, and what you have to understand about Rudy is he's a very good player, But he does not facilitate his own production on the offensive end. So what the Jazz need to do is they have to find draft picks and other players that are going to help maximize Rudy Gobert's potential. And Rudy makes his money in the paint. I think anyone who watches Utah or watches basketball in general and has seen Rudy can also attest to that. He's very good in the paint. He's a defensive monster. And the thing about Rudy is he has set more screen assists than any other player in the NBA. Now, this is really due to the Utah Jazz style of play, which has proven to be very effective during the regular season, but has been exposed a little bit in the postseason. So this is my plan. You have Peter Rusev, and now this stretch four, sometimes stretch five, can set the screen and serve as a viable three option if the ball handler is double teamed. So if you haven't seen Peter Rusev, I don't expect many people probably have, go look up his highlights on YouTube. He's worth looking into. I mean, I think 2 minutes into the video, there's a 10 minute video of him just killing it and in his highlights. And I think from minute 2 to 6 is just him setting the screen. The ball handler is double teamed. The ball handler passes to Peter Rusev and he's able to make the three. And that's something that Rudy just can't give us. And honestly, I don't think we should expect Rudy to give that to us. But since we gave him such a commanding contract, it's imperative that we find someone who's going to be able to space the floor, create the ball screen, just like Rudy does, and serve as a good three-point option for the Utah Jazz. And the nice thing about Peter Rusev is Philippe has already played pro ball. And so I know that when you draft players, you really want to try to develop them as much as possible. You send them to the G League, things like that. But after watching what this kid is capable of, I truly believe that you could plug him into the main lineup. And first of all, you get a lot bigger. You have another guy who's going to be able to net you at least 8 rebounds a game. He serves as a great second option for that ball, the screen three that the Jazz love to do. And this will allow Rudy to stay in the paint, like I said, where he can just kind of bully other teams and clean up the mess if the Jazz miss. All right, so our last order of business is going to be boosting our bench. The Utah Jazz don't have a lot of money. We've already kind of talked about that. They are third ranked when it comes to being over into the luxury tax, just behind Golden State and the Nets. And so they got to get smart with their money. After looking at players who were free agents, I was also using Sportech for that. By the way, that is just a great website when it comes to breaking down NBA analytics. One of my favorites to reference, I believe that the mid-level exception should be spent on going after Austin Rivers and Andre Drummond. So both of these players would command much less than the $5 million that the Jazz have as their mid-level exception. And I believe they are very attainable for free agents for Utah. So with all that said, let's look at our new lineup. So our roster is now going to be Mike Conley, who we decide to retain, Donovan Mitchell, Jeremy Grant, you have Peter Rusev, and Rudy Gobert. Off the bench, you have Jordan Clarkson, Austin Rivers, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Andre Drummond, and then you also have Bojan Bogdanovic. So the thing I really like about this roster now is even if you put Peter Rusev on the bench, you know, you put Bogey Bogdanovic in the lineup, however you want to work that, you're a lot bigger of a team. Peter Rusev is a good gritty defender as well, and so you're adding a lot of size. And we traded Joe Ingles, so he would actually not be on there. My apologies. So Bogey, there we go. Let me just change my notes here. So once again, let's go over the new roster again. My bad, guys. I just record these once. We do a cold take. You know, there's not a lot of editing, and that's kind of how I like it. It's just a one go, you know what I mean? So we have Mike Conley, we have Donovan Mitchell, Jeremy Grant, you have Peter Rusev or Bogdanovic, depending on how you want to work that lineup, and then you would have Rudy Gobert. When you look at that starting lineup, That is a much larger team. It's a team that can defend, rebound, space the floor, and they're much more athletic than they were before. And then off your bench, you could have Clarkson, Rivers, Peter Rusev, or Bogey, depending on where you want to keep them. You have Royce O'Neal, who's just a fabulous player, and then your backup center would be Andre Drummond. Now, there's a lot of different roster construction and like different lineups you can throw out with that as well, which I think would serve the Utah Jazz, because now if the Jazz want to, they can go small without having to go small. You know, if you want to throw, let's say you get Conley, Clarkson, Rivers, O'Neal, and Peter Rusev out there, that's a small ball lineup. All of them can hit the three. You can still do your screen assist at the top of the key. You still have viable options for the three-pointer, and you're a lot smaller. But if the Jazz want to, they could go big as well. So, I mean, you could put Mitchell, Grant, Rusev, Drummond, and Rudy out there, and all of a sudden, you're the biggest team on the floor. I mean, your shortest guy is Donovan Mitchell, but your next smallest guy would be Jeremy Grant at 6'8". So I believe this roster works very well because it gives the Jazz size, athleticism. It allows them to continue to space the floor the way that they need to. You still keep rebounding. In fact, your rebounding is probably a lot better because you're replacing Favors with Drummond. So there's a lot of upside to this roster. So, and I know it may sound like that's a lot of moves, but hey, when you're trying to win a ring, you have to do whatever you can, right? I mean, realistically, the Utah Jazz's window is last season, till whenever our Mitchell and Gobert contracts are up. That's kind of our window, which is about 5 years now. So this is our time to win, and we just have to move forward. We have to not be emotional as fans, and the front office needs to look at this as a black and white contract with X's and O's and just do what they have to do. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Next week, I'm going to be tackling the Dallas Mavericks. So I'm actually probably going to do that a lot sooner than later, too. My plan is to really start to pump out content. But guys, thank you so much for listening. And remember, keep it weird.